Welcome to History Lost in Time, from one enthusiast to others. And welcome to the second naval episode. Today we will discuss early ironclads of the Prussian-German Navy.
Why this topic today?
If you recall, in the last episode I talked about unarmored steam sail hybrids that were mostly used on the high seas. Today I will talk about the armored coastal defense ships, and I admit that my separation between early and late ironclads is a bit random. This is due to the amount of material, but also based on the fact that early ironclads were all built individually, while the late ones were all built in series, with one exception. So feel free to criticize the separation, but I hope both episodes combined will give a good impression about the ironclads of the Prussian-German Navy.
Political background and commentary.
Just like in the last naval episode, there is no political agenda here. I just want to discuss a topic that interests me, and while I do that, spread a little naval knowledge.
The sources.
Aside from Wikipedia, I will use the following books. Admiral Scheer, Vom Segelschiff zum U-Boot, translation from the sailship to the submarine, published by Verlag Quelle und Meyer, Leipzig, new edition, 1936. We already heard from Admiral Scheer in the last episode. He also served on one of the early ironclads. Ulrich Israel Jürgen Gebauer, Kriegsschiffe im 19. Jahrhundert, translation Warships in the 19th Century, published by Verlag Gondrum, Bindlach, 1989, licensed version of the military publisher of the German Democratic Republic, Communist East Germany. Israel and Gebauer provide details and technical information again that allow me to check Wikipedia's data. Günter Kroschel, August Ludwig Evers, Die deutsche Flotte 1848 bis 1945, translation The German Fleet 1848 to 1945, published by Verlag Lohse Eising, Wilhelmshaven 1962, third improved edition 1964. Kroschel Evers will provide hard facts again. Hans-Jürgen Hansen, Die Schiffe der deutschen Flotten 1848 bis 1945, translation The Ships of the German Fleets 1848 to 1945, published by Verlag Bechtermünz, licensed version for the Weltbild Verlag, Augsburg 1998. Again, Hansen combines the contents of Israel Gebauer and Kroschel Evers. Wilhelm II, My Life 1859 to 1888, 7th edition, published by Verlag K.F. Köhler, Berlin, Leipzig, 1927. I am happy to be able to use a book from the last German emperor for the first time. When he was 10 years old, Wilhelm II visited one of the ironclads mentioned in this episode, and we will find out what he thought about this ship. During the Crimean War of the 1850s, Prussia was neutral. However, even as a neutral observer, the country was learning from the war at sea and on land. It became clear that effective coastal defense couldn't be done with unarmored ships anymore. Modern navies needed ships that had iron armor plating, and even though Prussia wasn't too focused on naval affairs, at least some basic level of coastal defense should be provided by the navy. Today, Germany can build all its warships on its own, an ability that isn't that widespread and rarely appreciated. However, back then, Prussia was unable to do this. Its capabilities were sufficient to build sailships and steamers, but not for ironclads. Therefore, the first Prussian ironclad, the SMS Arminius, had to be ordered in England. But before we discuss that ship, a few words about classification again. Just like with the steam sail hybrids in the last episode, ship classification is tricky here. Israel and Gebauer have this to say on page 36. The Austrian officer von Kronenfels published a book called The Floating Fleet Material of the Naval Powers in 1881. And there he wrote that the 300 ironclads of the naval powers were so different that one could create about 80 different types. The ships had very different classifications, which were often changed within a short time and chosen rather randomly. Therefore, even though I know that the internet will get triggered and argue about this until the end of time, I will simply use the term ironclad, except when I quote a source. The first Prussian ironclad, the SMS Arminius, was commissioned in 1865 and therefore was too late for the war between Germany and Denmark. She had a displacement of 1,829 tons, a length of 63 meters, a width of 11 meters, and a draft of 7.6 meters. The engines produced 1,200 horsepower, but the ship also had sails. Top speed was 10 knots. The range was 3,700 kilometers or 2,300 miles. The crew consisted of 10 officers and 122 sailors. The ship was armed with four 21-centimeter guns with a range of about 3 kilometers. The armor consisted of iron and teak wood. In practice, the sails of the ironclads were not very effective and more an annoyance than an asset. This is confirmed in all sources. The heavy ships were very slow when using sails, so the sails were removed over time. From a modern perspective, the ships look kind of weird. The steam sail hybrids mostly looked like normal sail ships, but the ironclads? Imagine an old World War I cruiser with a hull with edges and corners, and now imagine some sails have fallen on top of that cruiser. Due to the fact that some early ironclads had surprise success by ramming enemies in battle, all ironclads were equipped with a specialized ram at the front. As a matter of fact, some ironclads actually had managed to sink enemy ships by ramming them. However, looking back, those were mostly coincidences or luck, and not really a new trend. Improvements to the naval artillery led to increasing combat distances, so ramming an enemy became more and more unlikely. However, up until World War I, many ships were equipped with rams. Let's get back to the Arminius. The War of 1866 wasn't just fought between Prussia and Austria, but also between Prussia and other German states. In this war, Arminius forced the surrender of several coastal fortresses of the German state of Hannover. The ship cruised on large rivers like Weser and Elbe during this war. During the Franco-German War of 1870-71, there were some small naval actions, however these didn't influence the outcome of the war. Neither the Prussian, German nor the French navy played much of a role in this war. This affects all ironclads I will discuss in this episode. After just 7 years in fleet service, Arminius was turned into a training ship. After serving in this role for 3 years, the ship was placed in reserve for several years. In 1881, she was reactivated to serve as an icebreaker in the Baltic Sea. During the 1880s, she was sporadically used as a tender and a training ship. In the late 1880s, she was modernized but not commissioned again. In 1901, she was used as a target and scrapped in 1902. When we talk about the ship's weapons, you shouldn't imagine guns in modern turrets. Just like in the good old days, the guns were placed on battery decks on the broadsides of the ships. This was a traditional setting, however it became more and more of a problem. On page 39, Israel Gebauer point out the obvious. Openings on the side are weaknesses within the armor of a ship. Since the ships were designed to fight broadside to broadside, the entire broadside had to be armored, but sufficient armor at the entire broadside would have meant that the ships wouldn't have been seaworthy anymore, so the armor was never sufficient. So switching to gun turrets was unavoidable in the long run. However, as long as the ships had sails, there was simply no room for gun turrets on deck. The next ship is the SMS Prinz Adalbert. This ironclad was built in France and was initially intended to be sold to the Confederate States of America. In order to conceal that, the ship was named Cheops to suggest a potential sale to Egypt. However, in 1864, Emperor Napoleon III vetoed the sale to the Confederacy. Prussia then bought the ship and got it delivered in 1865. The ship had a length of 57 meters, a width of 10 meters and a draft of 5 meters. It displaced 1,560 tons and had a crew of 10 officers and 120 sailors. The engine produced 1,200 horsepower, which gave the ship a speed of 10 knots and a range of 2,200 kilometers or 1,400 miles. It was armed with one 21-centimeter gun and two 17-centimeter guns. The 21-centimeter gun was at the front of the ship, the 17-centimeter guns at the sides. The ship's armor consisted of cast iron plating above its wooden hull. However, the Prussian Navy wasn't happy with this ship. After delivery, it was determined that the ship was in very poor condition and that construction quality had been very shoddy. The seaworthiness was really bad, the armor plates were incorrectly installed, and even the main mast was in the wrong place. On top of that, she took in a lot of water constantly, so she had to be properly sealed off first. However, this problem could never be solved completely. Following the war of 1870-71, it was determined that the hull was rotting away. By that point, pumps had to work constantly to keep the ship from sinking. The German Navy considered the ship a lost cause and gave up on it. It was decommissioned in late 1871, disarmed, and slowly scrapped until 1878. The next ironclad, SMS Friedrich Karl, made the Prussian Navy much happier. This ship was also built in France and commissioned in 1867. Israel and Gebauer describe it quite well on page 7. For the first time, the masts consisted of steel tubes that allowed to ventilate used air from within the ship to the outside. From the start, the Friedrich Karl was equipped with Krupp breech loader cannons, 16 ring guns caliber 210mm, even though at that point the English Armstrong muzzleloaders were still the superior guns. The ship, which had bark-type rigging, displaced 6,932 tons, had a length of 94.14 meters and a width of 16.6 meters. That means that Friedrich Karl was a lot bigger and heavier than her predecessors. She was armored with iron and teak wood. The 3,550 horsepower engines allowed the ship a top speed of 13.5 knots and a range of 4,090 kilometers or 2,540 miles. The crew consisted of 33 officers and 498 sailors. In 1885, she received an additional 6 37mm guns and 5 torpedo tubes. She was decommissioned in 1895 and used as a torpedo test ship until 1902. In 1902, she was renamed Neptune in order to free up her name for a new ship. In 1906, she was scrapped. From 1880 to 82, Admiral Scheer served on the Friedrich Karl. Since she was used as a coastal defense ship, she mostly cruised in the North Sea and the Baltic Sea. A highlight of this time on the ship was when Friedrich III, at that time Crown Prince and later Emperor of Germany, visited the ship and made a very good impression on the crew. The fourth Prussian ironclad is SMS Kronprinz. Here I will let Hansen describe the ship, which he does on page 51. The next armored frigate was launched in London as a second-class battery ship on May 6, 1867. She was almost 90 meters long, displaced 5,767 tons, had a simple expansion machine, was rigged as a barque with 1,980 square meters of sail, had the same crew as Friedrich Karl and similar weapons, 32 rifled 72-pounders, while Friedrich Karl only had 26. Kronprinz was decommissioned only in 1901, continued serving as a hulk, and was finally scrapped in 1921 in Rendsburg. A first-class ironclad was a ship for the high seas. SMS Kronprinz, a second-class ironclad, was intended to serve as a coastal defense ship. Let's complete the data on the ship. The engines produced 4,500 horsepower, giving the ship a top speed of 13.5 knots and a range of 5,900 kilometers, or 3,700 miles. The crew consisted of 33 officers and 508 sailors. When it comes to the ship's weapons, my sources differ a bit. Hansen talks about 32 72-pounders, Kroschel-Evers talk about 16 21-centimeter guns and later 6 37mm revolver cannons and 5 torpedo tubes. Wikipedia sides with Kroschel-Evers on this one. The solution is that the ship was equipped with the 72-pounders when it was finished in England. However, after transfer to Germany, it was rearmed with 21-centimeter guns. At the time, the 21-centimeter guns had a range of about 6 kilometers. Kronprinz served until 1892 with the fleet. She was modernized in 1883 and received the already mentioned extra weapons at the time. She stayed in reserve until 1901 and was then used as a training ship for machinists. As said, she was scrapped in 1921. The second to last ship of this episode is the ironclad König Wilhelm. This ship was also built in England. Both Israel Gebauer and Hansen say that the ship was originally intended to go to Turkey with the name Fatih. However, when that sail failed, it was taken over by Prussia. The ship was launched in 1868 as König Wilhelm and commissioned in 1869. It was by far the largest and strongest ship of the Prussian fleet at the time. It displaced 10,700 tons, had a length of 112 meters, a width of 18 meters, and a draft of 8.6 meters. The 8,000 horsepower engine provided a top speed of 14 knots and a range of 2,400 kilometers or 1,500 miles. The crew consisted of 36 officers and 694 sailors. The ship was armed with 19 24-centimeter guns and 4 21-centimeter guns. König Wilhelm remained the largest ship of the German fleet until the first battleships were commissioned. And don't forget, even this ship still had sails. It was this ship that 10-year-old Wilhelm II visited with his father during a vacation at the North Sea just when it had arrived in Germany. I quote the relevant parts from his book, pages 45 and 46. At the end of our stay in Norderney, we made a trip through stormy weather aboard the paddle steamer Roland, heading towards Wilhelmshaven, which had just been officially opened as a naval base in June of that year. Here I saw ironclads for the first time in my life. When we arrived at the roadstead, I stood at the bow of the Roland and, with a beating heart, saw the enormous rigging and the hull of the ship at the front showing up slowly. A sailor next to me said that this was the König Wilhelm. Soon we also saw the ships behind it, the Kronprinz and the Friedrich Karl. The closer we got, the more massive and the more impressive the König Wilhelm, back then the largest ironclad, at the front appeared to me. The armored body of this colossus, from whose battery ports a row of 21-centimeter cannons loomed menacingly, rested heavily on the water. When we anchored next to it, I was speechless as I gazed at this enormous ship, which towered far above us. Exploring this ship revealed a new world to me. I was very much impressed by the massive rigging, but even more so by the long row of heavy polished guns on the battery deck. With their high combat value and their weaponry, these ironclads easily outclassed the steam sail hybrids that I talked about in the last episode, and which still cruised the high seas at the time. This was obvious to the people of the time as well. On pages 50 and following, Wilhelm II describes a trip to the Mediterranean he made in 1869-1870, which shows this quite clearly. I quote, "A visit to the beautiful scenic naval port of Toulon also gave us an instructive insight into the French Navy. Afterwards, we visited the ironclad Provence, which at the time was the newest ship of the squadron and which made quite the impression. During the War of 1870-71, this ship helped block the German coastline near Helgoland. When we returned, we passed a part of the harbor where the French had amassed older ships, some dismantled, with 2 and 3 battery decks filled with guns. These ships, some of which had participated in the Crimean War, were supposed to be converted into troop transports. Among them was a really magnificent ship, the large 3-deck ship Ville de Paris. When I walked on its deck and looked upon the long rows of guns with nothing but admiration, the old consul Schenking said to me, 'Yes, yes, very pretty, but this is a thing of the past. Now these things are only good for killing flies. The Provence alone would sink this wooden fleet within a short time.' The ships mentioned here are the Ville de Paris, a ship of the line from the 1850s, and the ironclad Provence from the 1860s. The Ville de Paris was an ocean-class ship and a very impressive and massive sail ship, 65 meters long, 16.2 meters wide, a draft of 8 meters, a displacement of 5,000 tons, 120 guns, and already a steam engine, but just wooden armor. On the other hand, the Provence already had an iron hull, which looked just as brutal as the hulls of the German ironclads. She was larger, 83 meters long, 17 meters wide, a draft of 8 meters, and a displacement of 6,000 tons. She was armed with 10 194mm 50-pounder guns, 22 164.7mm guns, and 2 223.3mm guns. But the armor consisted of iron. The Ville de Paris wouldn't have had much of a chance to penetrate that armor with her old guns, while the modern guns of the Provence would have ripped her to pieces. The same fate would have waited for unarmored wooden sailships challenging German ironclads. In 1878, the König Wilhelm was part of one of the largest peacetime catastrophes of the German Navy. During maneuvers near the coast of England, the three ironclads König Wilhelm, Preußen and Großer Kurfürst were cruising in formation. When the ships had to perform an evasive maneuver, coordination between the ships failed. König Wilhelm collided with Großer Kurfürst, and now the fact that the ship was equipped with a ram proved to be fatal. Großer Kurfürst suffered catastrophic hull damage and sank. Out of 500 crewmen, 269 died. König Wilhelm was severely damaged but was able to limp to Portsmouth, where the ship could be repaired. After 4 years in dry dock, the ship returned to the fleet in 1882. During that time, her four 21-centimeter guns were replaced with 24-centimeter guns. Between 1895 and 97, the ship was converted into a large cruiser. The rigging was finally removed, which gave the ship a somewhat modern look. The new armament consisted of 22 24-centimeter guns, one 15-centimeter gun at the back of the ship, 18 8.8-centimeter guns, and five 35-centimeter torpedo tubes. The iron armor plating was replaced with steel armor plating. The modernized ship remained in fleet service until 1904, but was then deactivated and only used as a harbor ship for barracks and training duties. In 1921, she was scrapped. The last ship of this episode, SMS Hansa, was the first ironclad to be built in Germany. However, the plans were still heavily based on English plans. The ship was launched in 1872 in Danzig and commissioned in 1875. Hansa was much smaller than König Wilhelm. She was only 73.5 meters long, 14 meters wide, and had a draft of 6.8 meters. She displaced 4,400 tons. Her engines produced 3,200 horsepower, which allowed her a top speed of 12.7 knots and a range of 2,460 kilometers or 1,530 miles. She was armed with 8 21-centimeter guns, and she was armored with the usual iron teakwood mix. The crew consisted of 28 officers and 371 sailors. Even though the ship was supposed to serve as a coastal defense ship, she served in South America from 1878 to 1880. She spent her remaining time in home waters, though. Unfortunately, the ship had a very short service life. Hull corrosion forced her out of active service in 1888. She was then used as a barracks ship and finally scrapped in 1906.
Finishing words.
The ironclads mentioned in this episode had rather calm service lives, except for the catastrophe that SMS König Wilhelm was a part of. During the Unification Wars of 1864, 66 and 1771, the Navy only played a minor role and didn't influence the outcome of the wars. Another speciality of these ships is that they were built individually and not as part of a series, and that most of them were bought from abroad. Prussia Germany simply wasn't able to build ironclads on its own at the time. This only changed with SMS Hansa. The next ironclads were built as part of a series. In the next episode, I will talk about the ships of the Preußen class, the Kaiser class, and the Sachsen class, and I will conclude with the last ironclad that Germany built, the SMS Oldenburg, which was again a unique ship.
Thank you for your interest.